What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A warm up from Evo. Welcome to Lovey Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peters, and now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. We've got a great podcast for you as we're going to be joined in segment number two by Kai McKeon. He does tremendous work over at the Three Man Weave. We're going to chat with him about some of the biggest moves that we've seen over the last, we're going to call it 72 or so hours in college basketball. Jesse Edwards heading to West Virginia. We're going to hit upon that a little bit less since I feel like I did a good job of that on the podcast yesterday, but we saw Steve Ashworth go over to Creighton after he had a big year at Utah State. We're going to be highlighting that, highlighting some of the teams that have made some big moves this offseason. But I also want to get his thoughts on what is maybe not necessarily so sexy. These teams that they haven't made a lot of moves in the transfer portal. These teams that they are bringing back a lot of chemistry. And how important it is to just be keeping track of those teams and just how he goes about keeping track of all the hoopla that we are seeing in the offseason. I'm sure that Kai takes a little bit more of an approach to futures than myself, but I don't think that he's overly much of a futures player as well, so we'll get his thoughts on how he's able to keep up with everything in college basketball. You're going to find out in our conversation with him that he's someone that advocates for not necessarily beating yourself up if you miss a day or two and just catching up in general as well, because as we know, there's a lot of other sports handicap. The college basketball season is not going to be starting up until November as well, and he's a guy that likes to see the dust settle, much like myself, which is a big reason why if you're noticing that there's a lot of guys taking visits, something that I'm not going to do is be like, oh, Tyler Perry is taking a visit to Alabama or anything like that. It really does not matter. I will report when there is an actual guy on the move. So I take that sort of approach, and Kai's a no-nonsense guy that is going to be joining me and talking about that and so much more in segment number two. In the final segment, we did get a lot of yes sense, because you've got nonsense and then you've got yes sense, and yes sense is actual moves, actual stake, what we've seen with regards to the transfer portal. We had a lot of guys commit over the last 24 hours. You're going to get about 31 minutes in total of a recap of everything that we saw in college basketball on Monday. A lot of guys settled on where they are going to be transferring to, so we've got a chock-full show for you today. And if you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at @unit_d1. Keep in mind, Lurzium, maybe it does not matter, as per usual. Please just send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Really did not get in any Twitter questions today, and we've got a lot coming up in the final segment with all these moves, so we're going to cut this one a little bit short. I'm just going to let you guys know as well when I'm going to be starting to do conference previews. It's when the dust settles in the transfer portal. Typically, that's late May, early June in terms of these low/mid-major conferences, and then I do the power conferences towards the end of the offseason. That's sort of the tentative plan there. Might be a little bit later this year with all the hoopla, but I will let you guys know as things go along there, and letting you guys know that we're going to get great guests all offseason long on this podcast, much like Kai McKeon, who's up next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the Beeson Family Podcast.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their MBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family and Podcast. It is great to be joined by this man. It's Kai McKeon. He does absolutely tremendous work over at the Three Man Weave, which I will follow that wonderful organization over at the number 3MW_CBB. For Kai, he's out there in the Midwest doing an amazing job taking a look at college basketball. I know that along with his work over at the Three Man Weave, he does great work over at the Field of 68 and also Action Network when things are more in season. I know that he did great work previewing a lot of these conferences over at the Almanac as well, which I was part of the Field of 68 as well. Guy, one of the best in the business of taking a look at college basketball, and a man that you're able to follow at KY_3MW. And if you're looking for the Three Man Weave handle, that's at the_3MW_CBB. And Guy, always great to get you aboard. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, Greg.
Thank you for joining me, Kai, and we have seen a lot of moves that have happened here in the offseason, and I feel like one of the biggest moves of impact happened about an hour or two before we came on this podcast. That is the fact that Steve Ashworth is going over to Creighton. With Creighton, they're going to be returning a lot of what they had from last year. They very nearly make the Final Four, and as we all recall, when Baylor Shireman decided that he was going to be transferring to Creighton, that caused for a lot of influx of money on the futures market to come in on them. Their odds greatly shrink, and I feel like Steve Ashworth could be the same sort of contributor that Baylor Shireman was a season ago. And for Creighton, it's not been that they've been making a lot of moves in the transfer portal. I think they've really figured out, though, how to just be able to get that one splash guy in the portal, and I absolutely love the move that they made on Monday.
Yeah, definitely. Me too. Ashworth gets a little overlooked because of his stature. You know, he's just a 6'1 point guard, plays for Utah State or played for Utah State, but he does not make mistakes with the ball. And he shoots it. Shot like 43% from three last year. So it's a good guy to bring in to kind of replace Ryan Nimhard's production. Nimhard, of course, transferred out from Creighton. But Ashworth is not a big drop-off, in my opinion. He's old. I think he's like 25 years old because he did a mission trip back in the day. It's a great get.
It is a really good get. And do you think that he could have sort of that same impact that Baylor Shireman did a season ago? Because when it came to Creighton, I noticed that they were a very top-heavy team last year, which a whole was greater than some of its parts. And I think that even the Creighton coaching staff would admit they probably would like a little bit more depth this year than last year. I feel like that was something that was holding them back. But I take a look at Ashworth, and I think that he could play a very similar role to what we saw out of Baylor Shireman a season ago.
I'm not sure quite to that extent. I mean, Shireman's awesome. Player of the year. Ashworth was a first teamer in the Mountain West. I just think because of his size, his impact might be a little bit more limited than Shireman's. He has played well against power competition. Who knows if it really will translate fully to a full Big East season. I'm not even sure Utah State played a Power 5 team last year outside of Missouri in the tournament. I'm kind of wait and see for him against those type of competitions, but I do think he's going to have a major impact. As an all Big East player, maybe he could get there, but he's certainly on the borderline.
Yeah, but I do think that he's probably not going to be able to haul in there as many rebounds as Baylor Shireman, to your point. The size implications, that is something to take note of, but I think that that is a massive impact for them. And they did play against one Power 5 team prior to the NCAA tournament. That would be Washington State. So to your point, they really didn't face off against a whole bunch of guys there. But I do think that that is a big pickup for Creighton. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Kai McKeon over there at the Three Man Weave. And I talked a lot about the school yesterday, so I won't hit upon them as much today. But still, I think that it is worth noting what West Virginia has been able to do in the transfer portal as well. As we both know, the Big 12 going to be looking a little bit different this year with conference realignment, bringing in the likes of Houston, bringing in Cincinnati, BYU, Central Florida. That is going to cause the Big 12 to look a little bit different. And for West Virginia, they're one of the lesser teams on defense in the Big 12 last season. I think that it was massive that they pick up Jesse Edwards. We know that they already brought in Kirk Risa here in the offseason as well. And I feel like West Virginia is one of those teams that has really had a good offseason as well, because now I take a look at depth in all of college basketball. When West Virginia has really been at their best, they're typically able to go north of 8 deep. And I feel like they're going to be able to do that, and perhaps even then some, this next season with all the guys that they brought in via the portal.
Yeah, Jesse Edwards, at least a top 10 transfer in the country. He might even be higher than that because he impacts the game on both ends of the floor. He's going to play great defense. He did play in a 2-3 zone at Syracuse, but I do think he has the versatility and the ability to obviously be successful in man-to-man. He's been top two the last two seasons in the ACC in block rate. So he protects the rim, heck of a defender, super long. He rebounds, and he scores in the post too. So I think it's a fantastic pickup for West Virginia, home run. Creesa is fun. I'm excited to watch West Virginia. TBD on his defensive impact, but I know it's going to be exciting to watch them.
I think that is going to be amazing to watch what we're going to be getting in the Big 12 this season as well. And they're a team that starting to rise up a little bit more in the futures market. I haven't seen updated numbers quite yet on Creighton in the wake of the Steve Ashworth signing, but that said, I have to think that that improved
Ukraine in terms of the futures market as well? And are you someone that does take a look at a lot of future prices when it comes to the months of April, May, with a lot of transfer portal hoopla, trying to be able to get in on some good prices? Or do you sort of kick back, relax, and let everything play out as it is before you dive into anything? Or just really don't play the futures market at all, because I'm someone that I myself really just go really game to game, and I'm not really taking too much of a look at the futures market, just more or less trying to prepare for what we're going to be getting in November and beyond.
Yeah, I'll definitely throw some futures out there. I don't like to do too many just because I don't like to tie my money up, frankly. I think the return for what you get for, you know, especially in April when you're betting these futures, you have to have it's a year away, right? These championships. However, there are some good numbers you can pick off if you kind of project what these teams are going to look like with the transfer portal. It can be difficult at first, but if you can kind of figure out which way the wind is blowing, you could definitely have a shot to get some really good numbers on quite a few schools. But with college basketball, it has more parity. The last couple of years we've seen with the transfer portal, with NIL, with the extra COVID year, I think it gets tougher and tougher to really choose a good future, especially at this point.
Yeah, I do think that it is a little bit tougher this time of year, and no doubt we've been seeing some teams be able to rise up. We touched upon two teams in West Virginia and Creighton that I feel like have done a great job this offseason, but the real buzz right now is going to Duke. A lot of these way too early top 25s have Duke at number one, and I'm not too much of a proponent of the way too early top 25s. I think that's a little bit silly to be doing this time of year, but what I can say is that I don't disagree with putting Duke at number one right now with all the guys that they have coming back. Recognize that Jeremy Roach is currently testing out the NBA draft waters. I sort of think that he's going to be coming back to Duke, and even if he doesn't, this team is going to be locked, loaded, ready for bear. I think that it has been incredible the offseason that they've had, because one or two guys a year where it looks like they're going to be a shoo-in to be a first-round pick, they're going to be going towards the top of the board, they do decide to return to school, and this year Duke was the beneficiaries of that after having a really hot end to the season. Not sure what your outlook is on Duke, but I think that they are rightfully receiving so much praise as that way too early number one, though, as we both know, things can change in a heartbeat with the transfer portal.
Yeah, they're number one for me. Filipowski is an All-American, maybe player of the year candidate. Tyrese Proctor is an All-American. Jeremy Roach, who's coming back, a senior point guard. That's not a bad starting point. And plus all the other talent they have coming back, plus the top 15 recruit they have in Sean Stewart. I mean, this team is loaded with talent. They're not all just freshmen next season. They have the freshman and sophomore leaps, legit pro prospects, and legit All-American contenders. It is a very warranted number one ranking so far.
Yeah, it's been really interesting to take a look at what we've been getting this offseason. And Houston, they have been one of the more impressive teams, but there have been a few other teams that have been standing out to you in terms of what they've been able to do this offseason, because I think on top of what they've been able to do, I love what Houston has been able to do in terms of being able to revamp that backcourt. They do lose Tremont Mark to a team in Arkansas that, shock, shock, surprise, surprise, they have been active in the transfer portal. Where have we seen this movie before? But I feel like they've been relatively impressive as well. What have been a few teams that have been standing out to you in terms of teams that you're feeling more and more warm on as they've been making moves this offseason?
Yeah, Houston, fantastic job with the guards they've brought in. But Florida has had an awesome offseason. You know, I was pretty high on them last year, so a little caveat, that didn't work out too well. But you bring in a guy like Hanglotten from Marshall. He's going to be fantastic. Walter Clayton was the MAC player of the year last season at Iona. They're very in on Tyler Perry from North Texas. They get him. Look out. And they got Riley Kuechel coming back, who is a future pro returning to their program. I think they're going to be a really tough team next season. Definitely going to make the tournament.
Really like what Florida has been able to do as well. And with the Florida Gators, I felt like it was a little bit of an underachieving year for them. And Hanglotten, I think, is so important because we saw what this team was with Slash without Colin Castleton. Even with Colin Castleton, this was not a team that was living up to aspirations. But I think that Todd Golden really did need to get that big man in order to be able to absorb the loss of Colin Castleton. And Hanglotten, I feel like, is just one of the best fits in the transfer portal that we've seen offseason in terms of a need that was fulfilled.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Todd Golden wants to kind of remake what made him successful his last year at Cisco, getting the two big guys in, building around that with shooters. And I think that's what he's trying to recreate. I don't think the roster last season fit what he wanted to do. He had some holdovers from the Mike White era that I just don't think fit with Todd Golden's philosophy, with what he wanted to do on the floor. So they kind of cleaned house, frankly. They kept the guys they wanted to, and they went to the transfer portal to get a really talented class thus far.
I do think so as well. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Kai McKeon. He does absolutely amazing work over at the three-man weave, and this isn't really in regards to any specific team or anything like that, but as we know, just trying to get news this time of year of the offseason, it can be a little bit difficult because we are seeing a lot of guys in the transfer portal. When I refresh verbal commits towards Monday in the AM, we saw over 1,450 players in the transfer portal. We're seeing a whole bunch of updates on social media with regards to guys that they might be here, they're taking visits here, what have you. How do you just take in all the news that we are seeing in the transfer portal and trying to keep up with it all? Because I'm not sure if you're someone that you're really looking to see what breaking moves are happening for you to fire in on the futures market, but I'm not necessarily one of those guys. So if I'm a few hours late, I'm a few hours late. That's okay. But I just think that it is a lot to take in. And I think that it is very important to just sort of know your schedule and try to be able to update when absolutely needed. Because I do think that with regards to this offseason, there is a way to be able to just be able to stay on top of things while at the same time not absolutely just killing yourself, because it is a lot to try to be able to just take a look at.
I kind of take a step back and I let it just come naturally. You know, if I'm Twitter, I see something great. I'm not making any evaluations right now. I let the dust settle. Once all the transfer and the moving around is done, you know, then I get into my actual handicapping of teams for the next season, and I'm sure I'll be writing a million previews next year for these teams as well. So April and May are my like recovery months from a long college basketball season, and while it's fun to see where these guys all go, I get tired of the tweets with guys trimming their list down to 20 and 15. It's just like, good gosh. Just tell me who your new team is, and let's get everything settled so we know who's playing next season.
There are some guys out there, Kai, where I think it would be easier for them to list off the teams that they are not considering rather than the teams that they are considering. So I am right there with you. And I do think that it is just very difficult to be able to take in a lot this time of year as well. And I do think that it is a little bit defeatist if you're trying to be able to take in everything at the same time. I'm not sure if you're someone that you like to stick in the same amount of time, like every single day, taking a look at college basketball, or you maybe have one or two days out of the week where you really dive in, and the other few days you maybe take it easy, because I know that there's many people out there listening that they're probably evaluating things like the NBA playoffs. They're maybe getting set for the NFL draft, which is a week and a half away, and I think that that's just a big part of it as well, sort of knowing your schedule when it comes to taking a look at the transfer portal, because there's going to be a lot that's happening. And if you miss out on something that happened like 8 hours ago, if you're not much of a futures player, you're not really missing out on it, because I take a look at this sort of like a college research project. And if you're someone much like myself that just evaluates game to game, it's just all about being able to be prepared 200 days from now for the start of the college basketball season. And if you miss a day or two of information, as long as you go back and you clean it up, you're good.
Yeah, exactly. And even if you play the futures market, these things don't move that fast for, you know, one or two guys committing. You usually can find a book out there to get your number that you want. I take a casual approach to it during this time and try to have fun with it, and try not to get too stressed about all the movements going on every single day. I think you really burn yourself out if you try too hard and keep up with it like that.
Yep, I think there were an agreement there. And then I just want to get your thoughts on this as well, because we are all making a lot out of these big giant moves, like Jesse Edwards going to West Virginia, we talked about. It's a big deal. Steve Ashworth going over to Creighton, that's a good pickup for them. When it's all said and done, when it comes to the later part of the offseason, are you someone that you try to go through and you just try to look for roster continuity? Because we're all looking at these big giant splash moves, but what I've noticed with the teams that have been able to make deep runs in March the last few seasons, really sans what we saw with a team like Kansas State this last year, is that a lot of the teams that are going deep in March are not necessarily those teams that are making the big giant splashy moves. They're the team that's retaining a good core. They're a team that they've got a lot of guys that have been playing together for 3 or 4 years. And while we're all getting enveloped into what we're seeing in the transfer portal, I think that it's what's less sexy, bringing guys back, not being in the news, that can actually be the ultimate decider as to how far a team can go. And that is something that you do want to be paying attention to while nobody else is.
I think playing the transfer game can take you far and can propel you to having a good season just because of the sheer talent on your roster. And that's Arkansas every single season. But the teams that win, you're right, they have a heavy dose of continuity. Guys who came back from last year, UConn, they definitely added some help from the portal, but majority of their production, at least three of their main guys, were guys that came back from last season. And FAU is the poster child for this, right? I mean, they basically had all their guys come back from last year, and they probably will again. They're going to be another force we reckon with next season. Teams that keep most of their players plus add maybe one or two impact transfers are the teams that tend to go further than teams that kind of turn over the roster every single year. That's hard on a coach to kind of build a culture and to really instill what he wants to do in such a short time frame, relatively speaking.
It certainly is, and we're going to be seeing a lot of moves that happen this offseason. And Kai, I know that you guys over there at the Three Man Weave are doing a great job of taking in everything. You, Jim, and Matt do absolutely tremendous work, and I know that once the season rolls around, you guys are going to be firing all cylinders. And I know that you guys did a great job of previewing the season last year with some podcast work, but on top of that, I know that you guys were big-time contributors with the Almanac over at the Field of 68 as well. I'm sure that you guys have big things on tap this offseason, some known, some probably unknown as well, but love to give people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yes, 3MW_CBB is our Twitter handle. We post our podcasts every week or 2 weeks this offseason, and yes, we have plans in store for another major preview project, as we do pretty much every season. Looking forward to that and working with the Field of 68 guys again.
Absolutely love the work that the Field of 68 and the Three Man Weave does. Kai is a big-time contributor for both, and every single time he joins this podcast, always lends great insights, much like he did today. A big thanks to Kai for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the Visa Family Podcast, and coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you a bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes we saw in college basketball Monday.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Las Vegas for Coast to Coast with myself, Craig Eves Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family and Podcast. It is always a pleasure to get Kai McKean aboard. He does amazing work over at the Three Man Weave along with Field of 68 and Action Network, taking a look at all things college basketball. One of the best in the business of being able to keep things straight, working hard all 12 months of the year to be able to find some edges and paying attention to all that we are getting right now on a very rambunctious front. So, big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we've seen in college basketball over the last 24 hours. Oral Roberts is going to be a bit of a rebuild for them as they lose quite a few guys. Currently, you've got Max A. Smith in the transfer portal, their coach Paul Mills. He is now at Utah State, but they do bring in Brendan Moore, and they're hoping to be able to get a little bit more out of him. Some of that redshirted last year at BYU, but he's got quite a bit of an upside. 6'9" guy that is able to give some versatility, so I do think that that is a nice pickup for them. This was a nice ancillary piece for the UNC Wilmington Seahawks, as they're going to be picking up someone from New Mexico, and New Mexico does not leave empty-handed. We'll get to that in a minute, but KJ Jenkins has decided that he is going to be going to the CAA and he is going to be playing for UNCW this last season over at New Mexico. So he put up some nice numbers as he shot from three-point range right around 46.5% from three. Scoring as a whole was down during the 2021-22 season with New Mexico, about 9.8 points, a little bit over three boards per contest, and shot 90% the free throw line this year. More like 7.5 points per game, but three-point shooting, that was someone that began his career at the non-D1 level. That is big for them. And New Mexico, who do they get to be able to replace him? Jamerrill Baker, I think, is going to be a very good fit because, well, he knows the Mountain West very well. He was playing for Fresno State this last year. He was able to supply 12.5 points, 3 boards, 2.9 assists per contest, a former top 100 recruit, but for Jamarial Baker, he really had his best success towards back half of the season. From February 3rd on, so final 10 games of the season for him, shot 41.5% from 3, 3.7 assists, 15.5 points per game, including a 43 spot against Chicago State. Now, it was against Chicago State, but you tell that towards back half of the season, he was really starting to find his scoring punch. They've got already Jalen House back in the fold, so this is going to be a New Mexico backcourt that I think is going to be very solid for this upcoming season, and I think that that is a good pickup for them. Jason Murphy, he was over at non-D1 Frostburg State, and he has decided that he is going to be heading over to North Carolina A&T. 6'9", little bit of a load. North Carolina A&T needed a little bit more size down low, and I think that this is going to be a very valuable pickup for him. He was a all-conference big man at the center position last season and was able to put up some relatively solid numbers. With just under 16 points, 9 boards, in terms of blocks per contest, he was able to give the team about 1.2 of those. He was limited a little bit last season. He only played 19 games in total, so he was dealing with a little bit of an ailment, but North Carolina A&T, they needed to get a little bit more stout down low. They were able to do that, so that is going to be massive on that front. Foster Wonders has decided that he's going from Southern Illinois and he's going to UW Green Bay. I tried to do a little bit more investigative work to try to see what UW Green Bay was getting in. When I tried to open up his Twitter, he was on a restricted account. So it just seems like a typical UW Green Bay move, but he shot about 34.9% from 3-point range, 2.6 points per contest. It's a 6'5", little bit of a joker sort of player, so we shall see what happens there. Tyne Grant Foster was, a few years ago, a top 10 player in terms of junior college transfers, just could not find his footing at Kansas or DePaul, and he's going to try it again over at Grand Canyon. When he was at Indian Hills, this guy was absolutely tremendous. A great 6'7" combo player that wasn't an amazing 3-point shooter, but he's got a little bit of range to be able to shoot threes. He's got some handles. He's able to do a nice job down low. Grand Canyon was able to make the NCAA tournament this past season, but you can tell that their defense, it was a little bit more lackluster towards the back half of the season. I think that he's going to be able to help this team out in a wide variety of areas, both on offense and on defense. So this is a good pickup for them. We were talking with Kai McKeon about some of the pickups of Florida, and while Micah Hanglund is getting all the love in terms of being able to fortify things down low, because when Colin Castleton went down, you could tell that Florida's chances of being able to win games went down. They've also now picked up Tyrese Samuel, though, and Samuel, he was rock solid for Seton Hall this last season at 6'10", was able to give the team 11 points, 6 boards per contest, popped a few threes. He's a career 29% three-point shooter. I don't think that you're going to be getting a ton of versatility out of him, but being able to have someone like this come into the program, I think that that is big, and I do think that year number two for Florida in the Todd Golden era, I think is going to be a little bit of a golden age. It typically does take a few years for these coaches to really be able to take hold, get their full system in place, and there was quite a few injuries that happened last season as well. So I do think that Florida made a good pickup there. This is interesting. Brad McCabe started much of the year this last year at St. Francis and was an okay player for them. He averaged 6 points per contest from 3-point range, shot 39%. So, I mean, he was able to deliver some nice production. Wasn't a guy that was lighting the world on fire or anything like that. He has decided that he's going down to the non-D1 level to Lynn College. This is very easy for your handicap. All you need to note is that while our good friend Mr. McCabe was at the D1 level last year, he is no longer at the D1 level. You're able to cross him off your list of guys that you need to evaluate and move on. But very strange to see that sort of a move. RJ Melendez, he's a former top 100 recruit. This is something that you expect a little bit more. He has decided that he is going to be going to Georgia. Georgia needs a little bit more down low. I think that Melendez is able to provide that. 6 points, 3.5 boards, able to pop some threes throughout his career at 6'7", shot about 31% from 3, but I think he's going to be utilized a little bit more down low. It's a big thing that was really holding Georgia back. They were able to get something going in their backcourt. Front court, it was very much limited. Bringing in a former top 100 guy in Melendez, I think, is a big help for them. And I do think that year number two in the era of Mike White in Georgia is going to be able to go rather swimmingly, assuming that they're able to get a little bit of offensive production from their guards. But that is a good pickup for them. Lars Simon, he was playing at Cal this last season and was really one of the few players for Cal that gave you an honest effort. He was able to supply 9.5 points, 5.5 boards. But this is how telling how Cal is going right now. He was able to be a starter for them, and he has decided that he is transferring downward to Loyola Marymount. And I do think that he's going to be able to have some success at Loyola Marymount. The Mount was able to take down Gonzaga this last season, and they've gotten some relatively good guard play. They needed a little bit more of something down low. Thiemann at 7 feet tall is going to be able to supply that. Not a guy that's necessarily going to be stretching the floor or anything like that, but he is accustomed to playing against really good competition out there in the Pac-12. I really do like this move. High Point, they made some big-time moves as well, as they've got a pair of guards that are going to be coming in, and Cade Potter along with Duke Miles. Miles is the biggest of the two, in my opinion. His last season, he was over there with the men of Troy, and he was very limited in terms of his production. He averaged 14 points per game in the six games they actually did play. You have to go back to the 2021 and 21-22 seasons for a little bit more of a true sample size of him. He started about 50% of the games those two seasons. Not a guy that's going to light it up from three-point range, but in those two seasons, 8.5 points, 3.2 assists, 2 steals per contest. He's going to be able to do a nice job for a High Point team that they do hang their hat a little bit more on defense. They're not necessarily a team that's going to completely light it up from three-point range, though. They did get some good three-point shooting this last season. That is going to be massive for them. And then they pick up Cade Potter from Utah State. Cade Potter just did not really see the floor, so it is a little bit of a sight unseen situation there. And I wouldn't doubt it if he just decided to take a year off, something of that nature. But him coming in from Utah State, that should be able to help them out quite a bit. And for a High Point, I do like the way that they have been able to utilize the transfer portal in recent seasons, and this is a good pickup for them. This is a good pickup as well for the Temple Owls, as Matteo Piccarelli, he was able to put up some nice numbers at UMBC, and he has decided that he is going to be heading over to Temple. UMBC, they lose their coach in the offseason. Temple decided to go in a different direction this offseason as well, and for Piccarelli, he was able to do a nice job this past season as more of a designated shooter. He was able to average 10 points per contest, shooting 39.5% from three-point range. Needs to work on his overall game to be an asset to Temple out there in the American, as he pulled down less than a rebound per game, which that's very skilled right there. Really didn't pass the ball around a whole heck of a lot, but a guy that is able to just go out there and he's able to score. So I do think that that is going to be of the benefit of Temple, because in recent years, they just really have not had a lot of scoring punch outside of their main two and K-Leaf battle along Damian Dunn. And well, both of those guys, they are no longer there. Tyree Bryan, he has decided that he is going to Santa Clara, and Santa Clara has been busy in recent days as they pick up Adama Ball via the transfer portal. They have been just making move upon move, and for Santa Clara, the team is looking to play up tempo. They're looking to be able to get some good scoring out there. They're going to allow their points, but they pick up he along Jalen Benjamin as well. Benjamin is coming in from Mount St. Mary's. We're going to be getting to him in a minute, but when it comes to Brandon, he was over at Charleston Southern this last season. He started pretty much every game for the team, shot 41% from three-point range, 10.5 points, 5.5 boards. I like his overall game. And then Jalen Benjamin, this is a guy that has sort of been there, done that. He played for the beginning part of his career at UAB, spent 2 years in the NEC with Mount St. Mary's, and for a Mount St. Mary's team that was one of the slowest teams in all of college basketball, was a high usage guy. 16 points, 3.8 assists, about 3 boards, shot 37% from three-point range, a little bit undersized, but Santa Clara, they've got a big, giant glut of guards. They are going to be missing a little bit of the versatility that they had the last few seasons with guys like Keyshawn Justice and company, but I do like the way that they've been able to fortify this backcourt in Santa Clara. They have built themselves a roster in which they're going to be looking to run it and gun it once again. L. Ellis, one of the highest usage players in all of college basketball last season at Louisville, he completely lit it up as he was able to give Louisville 17.5 points, 4.5 assists, shot about 32% from three-point range, but a bad shot for him was much better than a good shot for some of his other teammates, 3.8 turnovers per game, because there is nobody else in that Louisville backcourt, and I say that not even jokingly. He has decided that he is going to be going to Arkansas. Shock, shock, surprise, surprise. Arkansas getting in on the transfer portal, and it's been rather remarkable what Arkansas has been able to do here in the portal this offseason, as I think that their biggest move was being able to get back Trayvon Brazil, in all honesty, because that is going to be absolutely massive for them. But they pick up Trayvon Mark, they pick up Keon Menefield, who's going to be a nice three-point shooter for them. They did need someone, in my opinion, to run the offense a little bit more. They now have that in L. Ellis, and on top of that, they were able to get a few days ago as well to go along with it all, K-Leaf battle. So my goodness, this is a team as locked, loaded, and ready for bear. So I'm very excited to see what happens there. We saw a lot happening with Arizona State as DJ turned it up horn. He is no longer with Arizona State. He has decided that he is going to be heading over to NC State. And NC State, they do need to replace Jarkel Joyner, and this is a good replacement. He was able to average 12.5 points per game this last season, shot 35.5% from three, and is a career 37.9%. three-point shooter, a guy that was able to supply about 2.5 assists per game and really improved his defense this last year. That's rock solid. And Arizona State, they're going to be looking to a little bit of improved three-point shooting. Adam Miller to be able to fill the void, as Miller, he is coming over after last season. He was playing over at LSU, a former top 100 recruit that was able to put up numbers this last season, but he just really wasn't able to find his footing from three-point range. Took over 7 threes per contest, shot 31.6%. from distance, 11.5 points per contest. Not a guy that's going to necessarily dole out the ball a lot. He needs to sort of build off of other guys. But I do think that for Arizona State, if they're able to find a point guard, whether that be one of their incoming freshmen, whether that be via the transfer portal, this does have a team to be very good once again for this upcoming season, especially in a Pac-12 that I am not necessarily overly bullish on. We saw Ben Allen Lubin decide that he was going to be entering in the transfer portal. Really one of the few guys for Notre Dame that saw minutes coming in off the bench. For Mr. Lubin, he didn't really shoot from three-point range at all, but was able to give the team 6.5 points, 4.5 boards, 6'8" gentleman that came in as a top 100 recruit from the state of Florida. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. I'm very fascinated to see what happens there, because I felt like he was just badly misused at Notre Dame, and Notre Dame, they had no idea what they had in him. He was probably trying to see, all right, is this Micah Shrewsbury system going to work out for me? He has decided not so much so. He has decided that he is going to be hitting the portal. We're seeing this guy go from the non-D1 level up to the D1 level, and that would be Joel Scott. We have seen Colorado State actually do a good job of picking out these non-D1 guys and then be able to have success at the D1 level. He comes in after last season at Black Hills State. He averaged 23 points per contest from three-point range, shot 40% from three, was able to supply the team with 9.6 rebounds per game. And Colorado State certainly does need some help down low. He's a 6'7", do-it-all sort of player. Defense, I'm not sure what he's going to be able to provide there, but he's certainly going to be able to light it up on offense. This is a big-time pickup for Colorado State. I felt like he was one of the better players at the non-D1 level last season, and him being able to transfer up, Colorado State being in on it once again, I think that this is going to be a good fit for them. We did see of Tennessee Tech, Javius Harvey decide that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. For Harvey, he was a starter for the team this last season. 12 points, right around 2.3 assists, 3.5 boards, and shot 44% from three-point range. He is one of the better sharpshooters now out there in the transfer portal, so we shall see what happens there. A pair of guys that were just glued to the bench for San Diego State this last year, Cade Algier along Jared Barnett, they've decided that they're going to be entering in the transfer portal. Not really anything of significance there, and either of these guys really saw a whole heck of a lot of minutes, so we shall see what happens with them. Jay Allen Tovar has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal as well. And for this guy, I mean, man, he has been all over the place as he began his career over at New Mexico. He was at the community college level, and for some reason I thought he was at TCU for a year or two as well, but he was able to average about 8 points per contest at New Mexico 2 seasons ago with 5 boards per contest. It looked like he was finding a home with Southern Utah, and before he could even play a single game for Southern Utah, he has decided that he is going to be hitting the transfer portal. So we shall see what is going to be happening with him. And Quan Hill has decided that he is going to be in the portal for the third time in the last 3 seasons. Began his career at Fairleigh Dickinson, and as a freshman at Fairleigh Dickinson, good numbers. 7.5 points, 5.3 boards, a block per contest. Didn't necessarily shoot threes well, but at 6'9", was able to pop some threes. Just did not see a lot of playing time with St. Bonaventure this last year. 1.9 points, 2.3 boards, really didn't attempt any threes, so he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Guy with a good overall body, but it's just being able to put it all together that is a little bit of a question mark there. Rhode Island's top scorer from a season ago, Ishmael Leggett, he has decided that he is going to be going to Pittsburgh. This is a big, giant addition for a Pittsburgh team that does lose quite a bit from their team that made the NCAA tournament a season ago. 16.5 points, 2.5 assists, 1.5 steals, 5.8 rebounds, shot 32% from three, but on Rhode Island, a bad shot for him was better than a good shot for someone else. We have seen Pittsburgh be able to strike gold in the transfer portal, and I do think that they're going to be able to do so once again. I like this overall fit. That is going to be nice for them. Woody Newton has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal, began his career at Syracuse, and was an off-and-on starter for Oklahoma State this last year, but was a little bit more of a defensive stopper, 4.5 points, 3.4 boards for his career, about a 30% three-point shooter, but at 6'8", he's got a unique little bit of skill set, so we shall see what his prospects are going to be. Great Osabor has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal as well. He was the Big Sky's sixth man of the year this last season, as he's not a guy that's going to go out there and light it up from three, but a very good defender down low, 10 points, a block, 4.5 rebounds per contest, someone that shot from the floor 65% in his 2 years at Montana State. As we know, Danny Sprinkle not out of the fold from Montana State, so that caused him to move, but I do think that is going to be interesting to see where he winds up. Dale Bonner, I like this addition for Ohio State. He is coming in from Baylor. As Bonner, he was able to make the most out of the limited amount of minutes that he got this last season, as he shot 37.5% from three-point range, 4.7 points, ceiling and a half per contest, only saw about 19 and a half minutes per contest, but you could tell that when he was out there and when he was able to get consistent minutes that he could be a clear contributor for Ohio State. They are in a Big Ten in which they just need to get a little bit more athletic in general, and I do think that the conditioning and the overall skill set of Dale Bonner, that is going to be good for this team, and well, let's call it what it is for Ohio State. It couldn't have gotten much worse than it did towards the back half of the season last year. Bringing in something like this, I think it's going to be very beneficial for them. You've got Oleg Konjens. He comes in from Lithuania. Just did not see any minutes for Nebraska. 7 foot sort of project player. He's heading on over to Wyoming. With Wyoming, just was a washout of a year last year with all the injuries, with all the hoopla around the three Pac-12 transfers that they just didn't even stick on the roster throughout the entirety of the season. They're looking to be able to change the tide a little bit more. This is someone that I don't think is going to be playing a lot, unless if you're able to strike some magic, as we have seen Jeff Linder be able to work his wonders with some of these sort of project sort of players. So we're going to see what happens there, but they have landed Mr. Kujens. You've got Miles Stute. He was playing at Vanderbilt this last season, and he has decided that he is going to be going to South Carolina. I do think that this is a good addition for South Carolina, as Stute was able to do a nice job being able to shoot some threes this last season at Vanderbilt. He was able to supply the team with 8.5 points per contest, 4.5 boards, shot for his career at Vanderbilt 38% from three-point range. He's a 6'7", little bit of a combo player for South Carolina. They were bringing in a bunch of up transfers last season that they just had not seen really the world's greatest competition. Bringing in someone like Stute, who is familiar with the SEC, I think that that's a step in the right direction for this program. So I like what they've done there. Deshaun Ruffin has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. He was playing at Ole Miss this last season, just could not stay out there on the floor. And he combined 25 games through his 2 seasons at Ole Miss, a former top 50 recruit that when he's been out there on the floor, he's been able to produce 1.3 points, 1.6 steals, 3.5 assists per contest. Not a guy that's going to light it up from three-point range. A lot of that is because, well, he's 5'9", but him being out there in the transfer portal, if they're able to get a clean bill of health for him, he could be a big-time contributor. So we shall see what happens with him. Robert Ford III has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal as well. He was playing at Idaho State for a few seasons this last year, was really just a role player at Montana State. Only was able to give the team 4.5 points, right around 3.2 rebounds per game. He really had his best season at Idaho State about 2 seasons ago, 2020-2021 campaign. It was Mr. Do-It-All for them. At 6'2", 11.4 points, 3.1 assists, 7.2 rebounds, while shooting 36.5% from three-point range. This is a guy that can be a Mr. Do-It-All sort of player, so I'm very intrigued to see where he is going to be going in the transfer portal, because I do think that there's a little bit of a hidden gem here. Pierce Thomas, he was playing this last season over at Butler. He has decided that he is going to be heading over to Eastern Kentucky. Eastern Kentucky has done a nice job turning these sort of 6'5", 6'6", sort of combo players into guys that they can really utilize. For Thomas, he just was unable to find minutes this past season at Butler. Shot about 29% from three-point range, 2.5 points, 2.5 boards per contest. If he's able to generate steals, and that is a big if, because that is really the Eastern Kentucky style, he could be a big-time contributor for them, so we shall see. But I know this has worked out in the past for Eastern Kentucky, so they are going back to the well on that. Chance Westery, he was a top 50 recruit that just did not get out there on the floor whatsoever for Auburn this last season. Only saw 11 games worth of action. 6'6" combo player. From what I saw from him in high school, he's able to pop some threes. He's got some good handles. He is going to be heading on over to Syracuse. Syracuse. As we know with Syracuse, this is very much going to be a new look team because no longer do you have Jim Boeheimer who is there for 100 million billion years. Jesse Edwards, he is now going to be at West Virginia. So this team is looking to find a little bit of a new identity and feels like they're going to be going a little bit more athletic. They were able to land J.J. Starlin, who is playing over at Notre Dame as well. So lots of pickups being made on that front in Syracuse. It looks like they're trying to find their own new identity under Mr. Autry, and I do think that things are going well with this pickup. You've got Eli King, who was playing this last season at Iowa State. He's going to be heading to North Dakota. For King, well, he was not the king of being able to get a lot of minutes, 1.2 points per contest, but for North Dakota, we're going to call it what it is. They needed any sort of production whatsoever, as this team has been pretty lowly with regards to their offense, pretty lowly with regards to their defense. If King is able to give them any sort of rebounding whatsoever, that was big. 247 Sports had him rated as the number 152 prospect for the class of 2022. So this is going to be a nice pickup for them. And while King is out of the fold, that frees up some room for our good friend Curtis Jones, who is going to be going from Buffalo, and he is going to be now attending Iowa State. Iowa State clearly looking to go a little bit more offense-oriented as Buffalo. They were not a team that played a whole heck of a lot of defense this last season, but with Mr. Jones, he was able to light it up over at Buffalo. 15 points, 4.8 boards, 3 assists. For 3-point range, shot 36% for 3, and he was able to deliver for the team about a seal and a half per contest. He's returning much closer home. He's a kid from Minneapolis, Minnesota, so this makes sense on a lot of different fronts. This one makes sense as well, as I was mentioning this one with Kai McKeon quite a bit. The fact that Steve Ashworth, he has decided that he is going from Utah State and he is going to be attending Creighton this upcoming season. For Creighton, I felt like the one thing that they really needed was to develop a little bit of depth with some of the recruits that they have coming in. I do think that they're starting to do that a little bit more. And for Ashworth, he just completely lit it up out in the Mountain West this last season. 16.2 points, 4.5 assists, 1.2 steals, shot 43.4% from 3-point range. He was absolutely tremendous. So I think that this is a seamless fit. I think that he's going to be able to do a nice job of playing off all the other players in that Creighton backcourt and just exactly what they needed. Russell Dean, what he needed was to be able to surround himself with a little bit more talent. I think that he's going to be able to do so at Georgia Southern. He's going from Hampton, and he is going to be going to Georgia Southern as this last season. He put up nice numbers at Hampton. Problem is, Hampton just didn't really have a lot of contributors to be able to help him out. 12.8 points. He was able to give the team 4.5 assists. Did turn the ball over 3.3 times per game. That's just because he was a high-usage guy in general. You can't expect Dean to be much of a three-point shooter for his career. Shot 26.7% from three. Last year, shot 26.7% from three-point range. So very much in line with that. But I do think that he's going to be able to come in and is going to suit himself very well with a Georgia Southern team that, in general, they really don't rely a lot upon three-point shooting. They just need guys that are able to handle the ball, generate some seals, and Dean, he should be able to fill that role. Justice Williams, he was playing this last season over at LSU, and he's decided that he is going to be going to Robert Morris. This is a big-time gift for Robert Morris, as for Williams, he had right around 3.5 points per contest, was able to see a few more minutes towards back half of the season. He was able to dole out right around 1.5 assists per contest, and he did have some breakout moments towards back half of the season as well. From January 14th on, he saw action in 12 total games, shot about 31% for three-point range, 2 assists per contest. Robert Morris, they did need a little bit more of that primary ball handler with Enoch Cheeks being in the transfer portal because Enoch Cheeks did relatively everything for this program. So being able to get someone like Justice Williams in, I think that that's a big win for them. Keyshawn Kelman, he was a big part of why Princeton was able to make their run to the Sweet 16. He's decided that he is going to be heading on over to Dunk City and Florida Gulf Coast. For Kelman, he was really primarily a guy that was utilized on the glass. 7.9 points, 4.5 boards. He was a starter that he didn't really dominate action. He didn't necessarily do anything great, but he just knew his role. And Florida Gulf Coast needs a little bit more of that. Florida Gulf Coast had a little bit of a lackluster defense. They did have quite a few guys that were able to light it up on offense. They didn't have a lot of guys like a Kelman, though. And being able to bring someone like this into the fold, I think that that is going to suit them very well. This is very big for Utah State as well, because while they are losing Steve Ashworth, and that takes away a lot of offensive pop, they do bring in Nigel Burris. He was the Big Sky Rookie of the Year this last year. 8.8 points, 5 boards, shot 44.8% from 3, 87% at the free throw line, was able to start 25 games. He's a 6'7", sort of jitterbug guy that I do think that at Utah State, it's going to take him a little bit of time to be able to acclimate to the step up in competition, but I think that this is a very good pickup for them. And then this is going to be a little bit of an up transfer as well, but Another one that I do think is going to be able to work out. Anthony Seldon, he last year was playing at Gardner Webb, and he has decided that he is going to be going to Rice. We give our own to Lane Kiffin. Go Owls with Rice. They were pretty good on offense this last season, but they lose the likes of Quincy Oliveri and company from that backcourt. And with Rice, I know that they have been desiring to play a little bit of better defense. Gardner Webb, they were one of the top mid-major defenses in all of college basketball the last two seasons, and I do like the overall skill set of Mr. Seldon, as he was able to give the team 11.5 points, 4.5 boards. From three-point range, was not able to deliver much of that this last year at 30%. Did shoot 37.5% from three-point range two seasons ago, but him being able to up this team's just ability on defense, I think that that is going to be massive for them moving forward. And then in terms of a little bit of NBA draft information, Nfali Dante is going to be back at college for what seems to be his 100 million billionth year. For Nfali Dante, he was a very highly touted recruit many, many years ago. He just hasn't necessarily been able to find it. Although this last year at Oregon, he had a very good year. 13.5 points, 8.5 boards, block and a half per contest. You figured when he missed pretty much the entirety of the NIT that he might be as good as gone, but he has decided that he is going to be returning to school for another year. That is going to be massive for an Oregon team that they just have not been able to live up to their potential the last few years. I have soured a little bit on our good friend Dana Altman as a coach. This one should not come as much of a surprise. Isaiah Wong, he had the option to be able to utilize his fifth year. He is not going to be doing that at Miami. Big part of the reason why the team was able to make the Final Four, 16 points, 4.5 boards, shot 38.5% from three-point range. He was one of the best guards in all of college basketball this last season, so he has decided that he is officially going to be going pro. Adam Flagler, he has decided that he is going to be announcing his intentions for the NBA draft. I'm not sure if he's going to be leaving his eligibility open or not. I do think that this is another one of these instances where he had an extra year that he could have utilized if he wanted to, and it seems like he is not going to be utilizing that extra year. As a matter of fact, his first year in college was the 2018-19 season, back when he was with the Blue Oaks of Presbyterian. He was one of the better sharpshooters in all of college basketball. Shot 40% from three, 79% free throw line, 15.5 points, 4.5 assists per game. But Baylor, I'm sure that they were already seeing this coming, and he is going to be most likely as good as gone unless if we see otherwise. And then Alex Fudge has decided that he is going to be going into the NBA draft as well. Someone that came in with a little bit of fanfare as a recruit. He played at Florida this last season with 5.5 points, 4.5 boards. He's got a nice body for the NBA. I really don't understand why he's foregoing his eligibility. I don't know who's going to draft him. As a matter of fact, I really don't know where he's going to be going, but congratulations for Alex Fudge on deciding that he is going to be going to the NBA draft. You wish him absolutely nothing but the best. I would probably recommend that he maintains his eligibility, but that is his choice. So there is that. And then you did also see another player decide that he's going to do the opposite of this. He's going to be returning to school. That'd be Chase Hunter. He's going to be back at Clemson. This is absolutely massive for them. 13.8 points, 4.5 assists per contest, and shot about 36% from three-point range. And this Clemson offense really came and went with the production slash lack thereof production last season with Hunter, in my opinion. So I think that that is also going to be big. And then we saw Justin Mullins. He transferred from Denver. He has decided that he is going to be going to Northwestern. So we are clearly seeing Northwestern going after guys that maybe didn't light the world on fire, but they do think that they're going to be relatively solid fits. As for last year with Mullins, 9.8 points per contest, ceiling half per game, shot about 36.5% from three-point range. So I'm very fascinated to see how he's going to be able to work out. As about 24, 48 or so hours ago, they also landed Blake Preston, another guy that he didn't put up massive numbers at Liberty, but he was part of good Liberty system, averaging right around 6.5 points, 5 boards. They're clearly looking for guys that fit their system, and I am all for that, and I am all for keeping you guys up to date as to everything that we're seeing this college basketball offseason right here. I'm Coast to Coast Heaps, now part of the VEASAN family, a podcast, as it is no short of madness right now what we are getting out on the front of taking a look at all these moves. And a man that is doing a great job of that as well is Kai McKeon over at the Three Man Weave. A big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. And if you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Heaps, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, whatever you've heard this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at GNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM. Name does not matter as per usual. Please just send these into the timeline. Any other way, that's fine, an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire on whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via the 5-star review. I'll be coming at you guys every single day throughout the year during the off season and the regular season, giving you guys news and notes here in the off season, along with conference previews once the transfer portal settles down in most likely a month and a half or so. And then once we get in season, picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So I will chat at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.